It's Central Time. I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network. The month of January saw a surge in layoff announcements across the country in industries like technology, finance, and retail. Last month in Wisconsin, nearly 2,000 workers were told that they are losing their jobs. The hardest hit industries? Healthcare and telecommunications. Layoffs are becoming increasingly common as companies seek to cut costs and implement more automation. But that doesn't make them any easier to deal with for the thousands of workers facing unemployment in a difficult labor market. Our next guest has practical advice for what to do if layoffs come to your workplace. We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Have you recently lost a job? How did you handle that situation? What do you wish you'd known when you first got the news? Or if you're in the middle of a layoff at your workplace, what questions do you have about navigating that process? Call in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Alexia Kulwick is an associate professor and department co-chair in the School for Workers at UW-Madison, where she teaches classes in labor, labor relations, and employment law. Alexia, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Why do you think we're having so many layoffs right now? We're seeing a lot of it at this time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think overall we still have a pretty low unemployment rate. I think we saw some, particularly in tech, perhaps overhiring during and right after the pandemic. You mentioned healthcare in Wisconsin. To sort of be more local, I think that we're really seeing revenue problems in a lot of our communities throughout Wisconsin. And they just have not been able to maintain the level of care that they wanted to in these healthcare facilities in Wisconsin. So it's interesting that has been the hardest hit here, because we've seen for a while that they were short-staffed and they really didn't have the revenue to improve services and serve their communities better. So I think that's probably why we're seeing it in healthcare here.
Some people say that layoffs are contagious. Do you think that's the case? Do you think we're seeing that play out with this most recent wave?
You know, I don't think that's what we're seeing here in Wisconsin, given the couple of more highly publicized, I guess, layoffs that we've seen in Wisconsin. I think nationally, there can be something to that within industries where companies may see it, that in fact, another company is doing large number of layoffs to cut costs and sort of become leaner. I think there is a little bit of concern that then, you know, a competitor will have a competitive advantage. And so maybe it is a bit in certain industries like tech, a bit, quote unquote, contagious, right? I think it's possible.
In terms of legal options, how does getting laid off differ from being fired or quitting? What's the difference?
Yeah. So the huge difference is, of course, that if you are laid off, presuming you are a covered employee under your state's unemployment insurance law, you're entitled to uninsurance benefits. That's not going to be true if you've quit your position, and it's not going to be true if you were fired for a serious infraction or for cause from your place of employment. As far as layoffs go, there also are some notice requirements that an employer may be subject to, which means that it may not you might have to get 60 days notice as opposed to it being immediate, which is obviously much better for the workforce.
We're talking with Alexia Kulwick about getting laid off and what to do if you do get laid off. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also email a question or comment to us at ideas@wpr.org. Alexia, if you've received an announcement about layoffs at your workplace, it's so natural to feel really overwhelmed or angry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. You worry about the future. So what do you recommend? What's the first thing you should do after you learn that this is coming? You're being let go.
Right. I think it is a very difficult situation. We all put so much into our work, our livelihoods, and it's a huge part of our own self-identity and who we are in our community. I think once one has calmed down, one of my first pieces of advice would be to determine You know, talk to HR, find out what timing looks like. Make sure that you discuss your potential benefits and your potential options as this takes place. In other words, are there options for it to be over a length of time as opposed to being immediate? Are you going to be receiving any kind of severance benefits? Are there any other additional benefits that the employer will be offering you because of your layoff? A lot of times also employers privately do offer some sort of retraining or other benefits to its workforce as they're transitioning. And another thing that I would also recommend in particular that people do within, this is just within HR, within their own employer, is to make sure they understand the process for applying for COBRA health benefits if the employer is not going to continue any health benefits and they do have those benefits, so that at a minimum, the employee has to pay for that health insurance, but you will still maintain benefits for some period of time, 18 months if you choose to continue making those payments. So even if you're not working, you can maintain health care.
And I want to ask you a little bit more about the health care issue in a little bit, but I want to go to the phone. We have Marcus with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So it's a piece of advice that my great uncle told me. It came from my great grandfather. During the Depression, my great grandfather was a butcher. My great uncle said that you should always have a skill, like a trade. So whether it's fixing bikes or hanging drywall, plumbing, electrical, whatever, so you have something to fall back on, go pursue the career you want to and go with the education, because I believe education is definitely important and, you know, aim high. But also you need to be flexible, and because you never know, getting laid off, you might find that there's actually something where you fall into a job that you love. And if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Thank you for that, Marcus. That's great advice. Alexia, what do you think about what Marcus had to say?
Oh, well, first and foremost, I agree completely. Thank you, Marcus, for sharing that. I also want to say that, you know, looking at the trades is a smart idea, regardless of whether you consider it your quote unquote backup, right? So he was saying, pursue what you really want to do in your education. But I think that I would add that we do need more folks in the trades. And depending on, say, what your degree was in your education, you can actually sometimes do better working in the trades financially than other sort of jobs that might be available. And so it really is. I do encourage folks to take a look at them, take a look at union apprenticeship training programs. It can be a really nice pathway into something different where you can make a decent living.
What do you recommend then for people who are thinking about which way to go? I mean, is a job center a good place to start to talk about career counseling or directly to schools? Where can people kind of weigh their options?
Yeah. Well, I think I do like the idea of sort of career counseling, so to speak, if you really don't know what you want to do. You know, take a look at what's out there, what sort of jobs you're seeing posted on various internet sites, for example. Do some research on what industries look like they may be hiring in the near future, which is, you know, why I mentioned the building trades. I will say that if you're laid off and you don't have a specific trade or skill, in addition to just sort of exploring what those programs, there may be something available to you through the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, where they can have you speak with a vocational expert of some sort, and you might be able to find some new trade. And you may be able to test some things out. I mean, if you're talking the trades, just prepare that for 1 second. You know, you could go talk to someone in the local union that's there, or, you know, sit in on a class and see if it might be something you like. And you could do that with other jobs as well. I mean, the old like investigatory interview, right? So just sort of interviewing, not necessarily when a position is available, but so that you can determine whether it might be something you're interested in.
Yeah, thanks for that. Alexia, I want to circle back to the healthcare options. You talked about, you know, COBRA, where the employee pays the premium. Can laid off workers go on the government's health insurance marketplace? I mean, if they're facing,
yeah.
I mean, is that open all the time to if you have a change in your employment status? How does that work?
Sure. They can go for the government system as opposed to COBRA, and it is probably more It will probably end up being more affordable for most workers. I did mention COBRA mostly because a lot of us, of course, would want to make sure that we can maintain the same health benefits and the same treating physicians and that sort of thing. But yes, I mean, the marketplace is certainly open. And if you're unemployed, I would imagine as it's built, of course, it has different tiers based on your income, that you would have that available to you. Now, if your job situation changes and you're on one particular plan paying a certain amount of money on the government marketplace, and then you get the new job, your premiums will change, right? Like you can't just stay on that. You have an obligation to inform the marketplace or your employer that your situation has changed, but you'll still have the right to obtain benefits in that way.
Alexia Kulwick is a professor in the School for Workers at UW-Madison, where she teaches classes in labor relations and employment law. She's with us to talk about what to do if you're laid off from your job. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has your workplace or your industry been affected by layoffs recently? And have you or someone in your family been out of work? What questions do you have about severance packages, health insurance coverage, or filing for unemployment? You can call us, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Shereen Seward, and for Rob Ferret, right now we're picking up the conversation with UW-Madison law professor and employment expert Alexia Kulwick about layoffs and what to do if you're unexpectedly facing a job loss. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you been let go from your job recently? Are you looking for work now? Or maybe you have some advice to share about navigating unemployment. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Alexia, we were talking about the health insurance stuff, and one thing I want to talk about is the severance package. Yeah. Can you negotiate your severance package, or is it always set in stone? And is healthcare something that you could actually negotiate as part of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is the thing to do.
Yeah. So it is not set in stone, and generally, or I guess I will say commonly maybe, an employer will announce a layoff and it will offer a particular severance package to the employees. It may just be some extension of salary or wages. It may contain some sort of health benefits. It may not. I think negotiating for continuation of benefits for some period of time is a really great idea. If it's not in the severance package, it's certainly something that an employee should and can demand of their employer and start to try to negotiate the severance agreements. I do see them often provided to employees as though they're a done deal, but they absolutely can be negotiated, and I encourage people to try to negotiate these agreements. I want to mention that it's not simply out of the employer's, good heart that they offer these severance packages. They almost always contain some sort of a general release of any alleged claim that a worker may have against its employer. In other words, in exchange for these severance benefits, perhaps continuation of salary for some time, perhaps a lump sum of money, perhaps health benefits. The exchange there is that the employee is not going to be bringing any kind of an alleged action against the employer for, say, alleged discrimination or some new claim that they had not yet filed with a government agency or with the court system. So there really is something that the employer gains through these agreements. And I think employees often overlook that and think they don't have any negotiating power at all.
I've heard stories of employees being asked to sign severance documents right away on the spot. Is there a length of time that companies legally have to give you to review a severance agreement? Can you say, I need to look this over, I want to have an attorney look it over? Is that okay?
Yeah. What's interesting is they could, now I get so like nitpicky, right? But technically they could say, this is your severance package, take it or leave it. However, many of the releases that an employer seeks out of a severance package will not be available to that employer if they do it immediately like that. What do I mean? Specifically, the Age Discrimination in Employment Act does require that the employer give the employee 21 days to consider the offer and actually 7 days that they could actually change their mind. It also specifically allows for employees to have the opportunity to consult with an with an attorney. So while technically an employer could try to ram this down an employee's throat, so to speak, or demand that it be done right away, it would not be a very effective agreement for the employer. And for that reason, I think we don't see it an awful lot. I do think employees need to understand that they have the right to take time to look it over. They have the right to contact an attorney and to really think about it and potentially make a counter offer or try to negotiate the agreement.
Let's go to the phone. We have Aaron with us from Madison. Hi, Aaron. Thanks for calling.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call. I had wanted to just make a comment about an interesting situation where folks that are working remotely get laid off. And one thing that I discovered when I was recently laid off was that my employer was paying unemployment tax to a different state than the state that I was paying income tax. So I am right now collecting unemployment from a state that I was not working in because that's where the employer was paying the unemployment tax. So I just thought that was kind of interesting, and it actually turned out that I'm getting paid more in the state of Illinois than the state of Wisconsin, so it worked out great for me. And then the other comment I wanted to make quickly was just that as it relates to severance, folks should still apply for unemployment immediately, regardless of whether or not they're getting a severance, because some states will not count that against you as it relates to still being able to collect unemployment.
Oh, thanks, Aaron. Alexia, do you know what the law says in Wisconsin about that? Should you apply right away for unemployment?
Yeah, well, I certainly agree that you should apply for unemployment right away. Now, there are times that you wouldn't be denied unemployment benefits because of a severance, package, but you might receive less benefits, right? Mm-hmm. So, and once in a while, I've seen it, an employer even suggest that they want to provide the severance benefits and have the employee not apply for unemployment benefits. That's not as common, and I would caution people against that unless the severance deal is particularly great, right? Because the employer in that case is trying to avoid any kind of an increase in rates of their own unemployment insurance payments that they have to make. I'll also say I love that this worked out for Aaron, but it's kind of interesting. The employer really should be paying into the system in which the employee is employed, meaning where they are. It's interesting, the remote work, but I love that it worked out for someone. So I think, you know, it was a really interesting comment about that you are receiving the benefits in the state in which your employer is paying unemployment taxes into. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Thanks for that. We just have a couple minutes left, but I want to ask some more questions too. What should you do if you suspect you're being laid off illegally, for example, on the basis of age, race, gender, or maybe you've recently reported harassment? What's the next step?
Yeah. So I'm going to answer that as though you had not just included harassment in your list.
Okay.
And just say that as a general rule, what I would say is if you believe that there is a causation here, that there is a connection between why you were the one chosen versus someone else based on an illegal reason, meaning you're in a particular protected class, you can either go to the EEOC, which is the federal agency that enforces employment law, or you could go here in Wisconsin, you can go to the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development Equal Rights Division and file a claim that they will start investigating. So you may, depending on the circumstances, you know, if there's very good severance benefits involved, or if a severance package has been offered and you feel that there may have been an illegal, discriminatory, or retaliatory motive, you know, you may want to consider that as part of your negotiations for better severance. I hesitated at the beginning concerning harassment because typically an employee should be filing some sort of a complaint with the employer's HR department or the employer's internal policy first before going to any kind of an agency to complain about potential sexual or racial harassment, for example. If the employee's already been laid off, that's not necessary. But I just hesitated because it may be something where someone's given 2 months and they may wish to complain about it within the employer's own policy that prohibits that kind of conduct even before the layoff occurs. So that's the only reason I separated those out. I'll also just say for your listeners that in general, 300 days is the amount of time between the illegal conduct and the date that someone would have to be filing something. It is 180 days in states without any kind of a Fair Employment Commission. But with DWD, employees here in Wisconsin have that full 300 days from the date that they were illegally terminated, so to speak, and the date they file any kind of complaint with an agency.
Great information. Alexia, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Alexia Kulwick, an associate professor and department co-chair in the School for Workers at UW-Madison. She teaches classes in labor relations and employment law. We've been talking about practical advice for navigating unemployment after Wisconsin and the rest of the country saw yet another major wave of layoffs last month. I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.